Sorry to keep you all standing. I was going to make you stand up, so thought I had a little more time. Our message this morning comes from the book of Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 is one of those stories that we've all heard from when we were very, very little if we went to Sunday school. My hope this morning is that this will be something that we look at with new eyes, so that rather than it just being a story, it goes with us from here in our hearts. The feeding of the 5,000 was a grand, great, big, flashy miracle. Christ, up to this point, had done many miracles. He had healed people. He had brought them back from the dead. He had cast out demons. But this was a grand display, the feeding of the 5,000. It is an example of the Lord's provision, but if we look deep enough, there's a message in the miracle, and that is what we're going to be looking at today. But before we go any further, let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this service. I thank you for everyone that is here. Pray for those who cannot be here today, Father. Sometimes our heart feels heavy for prayer for those who are not with us, for those that are with us but suffering, Father, and I just lift them up to you today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would move greatly among us and would bless us powerfully this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's been a while since I've been up here, but the last time we had talked about Jesus sending out the disciples, but even after that, about Herod hearing about Christ and the miracles and the beheading of John the Baptist. But prior to the beheading of John the Baptist, Jesus had sent out the 12 disciples. He had empowered them to teach and to preach and to heal, to cast out demons. And As we start this morning, we see that the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things. They're reporting back to him about this missionary journey that he sent them on. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. The apostles return having gone out and fully relied upon God to provide all of their needs. They've returned and they've reported to their rabbi, their teacher, to God himself, what they have done. And they're very tired and they haven't had time to eat. And Jesus, knowing these men, living with these men, loving these men, says, "Let's go to a deserted place so that you can rest, so that you can get something to eat." As we know, Jesus at this time in his ministry was well known in the region, and people were watching him to see what he would do. They knew of his miracles, they knew of his healings, and they knew that he could cast out demons. They knew of his teachings as well. And when he got into the boat with his disciples and departed, they were witness doing that. And the people knew Christ was leading them out into the plains of Bethesda, and word got around quickly, and they ran there. Many reached there before the boat did. Jesus and his disciples were heading across the sea to where there were few people, but when they arrived, they found many. Jesus emerges from the boat, and he sees the crowd before him, and he feels compassion for them, because in the scripture it says, he came out, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. He began to heal as well. Jesus was the great shepherd. In seminary, they drilled into us over and over, as pastors, you are shepherds under the great shepherd. You're an under-shepherd to the great shepherd. And Christ was and is the great shepherd. He sees this flock of people, and they do not know God, not in the way that Christ was going to show them God. They were lost. They were without hope, and he felt compassion to them. They were sheep without a shepherd, and he was the great shepherd. Now, as we know, sheep need a shepherd to protect them. Sheep need a shepherd to provide for them, and that is exactly what Christ was about to do. In Mark 35, we read, "When the day was now far spent," they were already tired before they had gotten to this point. Jesus, no doubt, was weary as well, but he taught and he healed, and now it's getting late. The hour is late. "Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." They had followed Christ because, for whatever reason, either they saw him as the Son of God, they wanted to see a miracle, they wanted to hear his teaching, but they just flocked to him. They didn't think about, what are we going to eat? They didn't think about, do we have shelter? They just went. The disciples are tired and hungry. The people are hungry. They're in the middle of nowhere. And there is 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The disciples tell them to send them away, and this is Jesus' response. You give them something to eat. Now, it was a test for the disciples because they had been with Christ for a long time up to this point. They had seen his miracles, they had heard his teaching, but they missed the mark here. They didn't sin, but they reasoned among themselves, how are we going to feed all of these people? They weren't thinking, we've got God himself among us. They were thinking practically, how do we feed all of these people? Even if we had 200 daily amount of money to feed people, that still wouldn't be enough to give them more than a mouthful, if that. We don't have the resources. It is impossible. And Christ says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they found a boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, when we think of loaves of bread, we're thinking huge Wonder Bread-sized loaves of bread. But these were not those types of loaves. What I've read is that they were compressed barley loaves. So think of like a barley cracker. So you've got 5 barley crackers and 2 small fish. You know, I've read about the type of fish that exist in the Sea of Galilee, and they're not sturgeon, they're not salmon, they're not bass. These are small fish that live there. My question is, why did this boy have the common sense to bring his own lunch, but nobody else did, right? But that is all that they had. They had 5 barley crackers and 2 fish. Jesus commands the multitudes to sit into groups of 50 and 100. And he did this because as the disciples were going to be passing out the bread and the fish, they needed to be able to reach everybody. And if you've ever been in a crowd, a great crowd, like 5,000, you can't really reach everybody, so he divided them up into manageable groups. They sit down, and Jesus takes the 5 crackers and the 2 fish, and he looks up to heaven, and he blesses them, and then he starts breaking them up and passing them out. Imagine, just for a moment, what that must have been like. You're in this great crowd of people, and God has you sit down in small groups. You don't know that this is God. You don't know what's going to happen, but they say to sit, and you sit, and they start passing out barley crackers and fish. But this isn't just any barley cracker, and these aren't just any fish. These are crackers and fish that are provided by God himself. These fish had never swam. These crackers had never been made until God himself called them into existence. This is Jesus Christ, who never sinned and did everything perfectly. Imagine what that must have tasted like. God himself providing you a meal that he himself had made. They had never tasted anything this good before. There was no fresher fish in the entire world. This was the best fish and the best barley crackers that anyone had ever eaten anywhere. When we think about the time period in which this occurred, most of these people fought tooth and nail every single day just to have enough food to eat. You know, it's poverty on a scale that in America today, even our poorest cannot understand. They fought every single day for what they ate, and when the next day came, they started over from zero. Christ here is providing fish and crackers in abundance, all that they could eat. They ate, they were filled, and they were satisfied. And there was enough to go around. Now, occasionally, my wife Rebecca has to work second shift at Hobby Lobby where she works. And when that happens, Abby and I are left to our own devices. Now, Abby is a wonderful child, and she has some rather unique tastes for a child. She loves fish. So usually, I'd say about 80% of the time, when we're left alone to make dinner for ourselves, we make fish. And Abby has a recipe that she really, really likes. What we do is we take either tilapia or salmon. We take a pan and line it with tinfoil. We spray that pan with cooking spray. We put the fish in. We season it with a healthy dose of lemon juice, a little bit of lime juice, and then some kosher sea salt on top. Pop it in the oven, 375 to 390 for about 10 minutes. Voila, fish. And Abby loves it. She will eat all of the fish if I don't put some on my plate first. We'll go out to restaurants. She'll order the salmon. Not as good as Daddy's. My fish is nowhere near as good as the fish that they ate on that day. They ate, it was abundant, it tasted amazing, and they gorged. And when I mean gorged, I'm not talking about the gorging that we do, but they ate until they couldn't eat anymore. And for people who struggle daily to find food, that was a miracle in and of itself. When the multitude was satisfied, the apostles go around and start gathering up what remained. And there are 12 baskets left, 12 portions. Now, when we think of baskets, when I was a child in Sunday school, I thought of like a bushel basket. But in actuality, the word translated as basket is the same word that they use for like when a Jewish person would take a day's worth of food and go out like a lunch. So they gather up 12 portions that are kind of like doggy bag size lunches. Now, there are some who think that this is an example of the abundance of God, and it is. There was enough for everyone. But think about this for a minute. There were 12 lunches left over, and there were 12 disciples who were busy handing this out, who were tired, who were weary. Christ has the sufficiency to provide for everyone. No one was left out, not even the 12 who were helping to distribute. 12 lunches, 12 disciples, something to think about. In this miracle, and this is the only miracle save Christ's resurrection from the dead after the cross that is in all four Gospels. This miracle, along with a little later on, the feeding of the 4,000, is the last major miracle that Christ does in his earthly ministry. After this, Christ spends most of his time with his disciples, teaching them, preparing them for what is to come. But here, in this feeding of the 5,000, Christ demonstrates that the kingdom of God is at hand. God himself is among them. They are fed more than they have probably ever eaten in their entire lives. It is the best food they have ever had. It is the best food here on earth that they will ever taste. In this miracle, to those multitude gathered in that wilderness, Christ, more than anything, shares the gospel, the message, the good news that he is the bread of life. That is the message in the miracle. And if we flip over, if I can find it, to John chapter 6, we read that many of them missed the message. John chapter 6, 26 through 36, we read, this is after Jesus has fed the 5,000. They've asked him, Rabbi, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. They had witnessed with their own eyes the Son of God, not only teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God, but performing miracles with the power of God. And they did not believe. They missed the message in the miracles. They saw the flash and they missed the substance. And they were not alone. Many of Jesus' disciples, after the feeding of the 5,000, did not understand the message in the miracle either. They would eventually get it, but not right after. There is a consequence if we hear God's message and we either don't get it, we ignore it, or we turn away.
That's right.
If we read, flip over to Luke real quick. I've got you jumping around. Luke chapter 10. Now we know that they were on the plains of Bethesda when Christ had fed the 5,000. That's just east of the Sea of Galilee. We read in Luke chapter 10, 13 through 16, this following warning. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethesda! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes, but it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me, him who sent me. Many saw the miracle, heard the message, and missed it. Christ taught the gospel. Christ taught that the kingdom of God was at hand and they missed it. Even when it's presented perfectly, there are some who will not hear it. There are some who are not going to get it. There are some who are going to laugh it off. But there are eternal consequences for accepting the gospel message, and there are eternal consequences for rejecting the gospel message. Jesus is God, and Jesus is the only way to salvation. When we today present the gospel, there are many who reject it. To reject the gospel, as we've just read, is to reject Christ. And to reject Christ is not only to reject God the Son, but God the Holy Spirit and God the Father. Woe to those who hear the gospel and do not respond, for in the day of judgment it will be too late. We are told often of the importance of sharing God's gospel, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because had no one shown it to us, we would not be saved either. These people are lost and they are in darkness, and we go out to try to share with them the only way. It's not like there are multiple ways. There is one way, and that is through Christ to have salvation. This message, the feeding of the 5,000, is a reminder to us of the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but not just the importance of it and the importance of sharing it, but the dire consequences of ignoring it. God desires to reconcile his lost creation to him, but not everyone will be saved. I think often about the blessing of salvation for us today. In John 20, 29, it says, this is Christ after he's been resurrected, speaking to Thomas. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. If we believe, if we're his children, we are blessed, because no one in this room has seen Jesus Christ. But we believe. We believe in his gospel. We believe in him. He saved us. I fear for those who don't have this. Really, truly pray for them. Every time I give the gospel, Lord, please let this penetrate. Please save this person. If we are saved, we have heard the message in the miracle. We have that salvation. But our responsibility does not end there. It is our job to share that with others. And Christ in our reading today has given us the perfect way to do that. We have all, if we are children of God, have experienced a true miracle. We were once lost. We were once blind. We were once in darkness. And Christ reached into that darkness and pulled us into the light. That is a miracle. That is a miracle. And we can use that miracle. Everyone in here who is saved has a story behind how God saved them. My story is different from your story, but Each story is a miracle. Share that miracle along with the gospel of Christ, and you have a powerful presentation to another person of how God changed your life and how God can change their life. Every one of us here has that if we belong to Him. And we can use that and share that. Sometimes people will come up to you and say, "What is so different about you? Why are you always so happy and cheerful? Or why, when something bad happens to you, do you just shrug it off?" And you can tell them, "Well, let me tell you about what God has done for me through Jesus Christ, His Son." Now, they may hear you and they may still reject you, but they're not rejecting you, they are rejecting Christ. And woe to them if they do that. If you are here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray strongly that you come and talk to us. We're not going to embarrass you, I promise. But what we are going to share with you is the same thing that Christ shared with those multitude in the plains of Bethesda, the story of how we can know God, how God can come into your heart and change it. We want to share this with you. He is our Savior, and He can be your Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity to be here today. I thank You for everyone here. I pray for any here who are lost and do not know that they are sinners, that the Holy Spirit would move in a mighty way, convict them, and that they will come and talk to us. You are a great and powerful God, far away and yet very personal. You dwell inside each and every believer. You provide everything for us. You love us with a love that we cannot even begin to fathom or understand. You sent Your Son to die for us, which we did not deserve, but You did it because You wanted to be with us for all eternity. I pray You bless us now as we leave and head out, and bless us in the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen.